You spoke about that the Buddha taught a diversity of teachings. Is the Buddhism of the East interpreted and taught differently to those in the West?
At least when I introduce about Buddhism to new people, just 2,000 old is a Buddhist tradition, just like that.
So when I teach, introduce Buddhism to the West, I'm still introducing the same Buddhism that is, from Nagarjuna's time, it's nearly 2,000 years old. It's the same Buddhism. The version of Buddhism that I teach is definitely not what people would call New Age.
Basically, when I give teaching to Tibetan, I always make clear. Now we must return the 2,000-year-old Nalanda tradition, the basic Buddhist sort of tradition. Sometimes among Tibetan, you see the I think some minor thing consider the most important part. Forgetting the basic Buddhist teaching. And then also some of the literature which wrote by Tibetan in Tibet, I think they wrote according to the Tibetan circumstances. So sometimes little differences than the Indian origin because of the way of teaching. Now, for example, even Shantideva's book, particularly in the ninth chapter, a lot of argument, because the circumstances in India, they're not only Buddhist, but there are many different sort of ancient Indian school of thought there. So within Buddhism, there's a different sort of views there. I think because of the different school of thought there. So, when he make presentation, they raise all different questions, then discuss.
No.
So in Tibet case, I think many generally just take for granted all the audience are Buddhist. So,
So sometimes in the Tibetan texts, there's a certain element where the author takes for granted that the audience are all Buddhists. In fact, in the morning session, we were talking about this whole question of existence. So, and I made the point that by talking of no self or emptiness, we're actually talking about the dependent nature of reality, dependent origination of things. So Chandrakirti, in one of his texts, Solomon was saying that he doesn't remember. In Chandrakirti, in one of his texts, maybe it was a commentary on his own supplement to the Middle Way, or maybe it was a commentary. It's the commentary to Nagarjuna's Fundamental Wisdom on the Middle Way. In the context, commentary to the 400 stanzas of the Middle Way of Aryadeva. There is a point where, in the context of debate or discussion on the question of the absence of intrinsic existence, and so at one point, Chandrakirti expressed a certain element of frustration because the opponent constantly keeps interpreting absence of emptiness of inherent existence as constituting nothingness. So he gets frustrated and he says, well, it's very hard to try to make a point across to someone who has no ears to listen and who has no thoughts and who has no intelligence to comprehend. So here Chandrakirti is complaining that the opponent has failed to fully contemplate on the meaning of the absence of intrinsic existence, and has also failed to understand the import of that the idea, the statement. I'm not trying to kind of, you know, dismiss the question, so I would like to apologize if you interpret it that way.
Next question.
How does the Vajrayana view of pure vision, Dana? How does the Vajrayana view of pure vision relate to the dualistic relative view of Shantideva's filth? The pure vision that we speak about in the Vajrayana context actually is a complex process. First of all perceptions of reality needs to be dissolved into emptiness. So that all perceptions of reality has to be perceived in terms of emptiness. And then the very experience or understanding of emptiness has to be understood as dawning in the form of a blissful experience or bliss. And then this blissful state of mind is then imagined as arising in the form of a meditational deity. So that's what pure vision relates to. So it's a complex process. So particularly in the context of highest yoga tantra, in fact the very mind that perceives all spectrum of reality as emptiness, that the very mind that perceives that is the subtle mind of clear light. So from that point of view, according to Vajrayana tradition, the entire spectrum of our experience arises from within this clear light mind. So one can see everything as a manifestations or expressions of this clear light mind. So the idea that the mind is at the root or is the basis for the arising of the entire world is there even in the sutra. For example, in the sutra on the 10 Bodhisattva levels, there is a statement where the Buddha makes says that all phenomena are nothing but the mind. And in Chandrakirti's writings, when he interprets this, he understands this in terms of the origination of everything as a result of the karma. So there is this idea that mind is the basis for the arising of all phenomena. And in the highest yoga tantra, one makes distinction between grosser levels of consciousness and mind and subtle level of consciousness and mind. So when we speak of the pure vision of the Vajrayana teachings, we are really talking about a vision and experience at the level of the subtle consciousness and mind. So one needs to be sensitive to the context in which these ideas are presented. For example, according to the Buddhist teaching of no self, all phenomena are devoid of self-existence, selfhood. However, this does not negate the reality of self and others, good and bad actions and so on, and their consequences. Similarly, in the teachings on emptiness, we speak of all phenomena as being dreamlike and illusion-like. But again, that does not imply that nothing is real and that nothing exists. Things do exist and things do have a function of efficacy and so on. Similarly, when we speak about the pure vision of Vajrayana practice, that does not negate the conventional reality of the distinction between a good action and a bad action and the action giving rise to their consequences and so on.
Thawar and a sanga kaduliya and a tamer and nanshin kani, Thawar hai nanshin sadhutati, kora mushuk komjibe kudu keshiyare.
And particularly in the Vajrayana context, when we speak about the dawning of our perceptions in the form of a meditational deity, a pure vision, we're really talking about a particular context of a meditative practice, particular context of a meditative state. Similarly, we find a significant understanding of the notion of pure vision In the context of a great perfection practice of Dzogchen, and also the Mahamudra, the great seal practices. So it is important to be able to have an overview of the system, the teachings, so that you do not make the error of taking one particular expression and trying to understand everything in an isolated context. Do Buddhists believe in God? In other words, a supreme being.
Supreme beings lam lok tha to wa. Lang ngen ni disu higher beings de ge. Pen sa ju sa ba cha cha ne higher beings de. Ma so ba so ma so la sa bu ba ta na. Na da ne je ben de ge. Tin mi sa ba ngo di de higher being de cha de to super beings lok to ro. Call and search. That the creator is lam ba ma.
Of course, as I normally tell people, that Buddhists do believe in the idea of higher beings. For example, particularly from the point of view of us ordinary people, ordinary beings, bodhisattvas on a very high levels of realizations are higher beings. And similarly, the Buddhas and other... And the arahats, the one who have attained liberation from cyclic existence, these are higher beings, and in some sense we can call them superior beings or supreme beings. But if the question is the idea of a supreme being in as a creator, then of course that's not accepted in Buddhism.
Mm. And the law of causality is looked at the kyumera le chuwa mare, takwe ju le chuwa mare, mitube ju le chuwa mare, chewabu chi gu gaba mare, that's the shekhole.
So, for example, the Buddhist emphasis on the understanding the origination of things in terms of the law of cause and effect makes the point that things and events do not come into being, without any cause, nor do they come into being as a result of some eternal, permanent, unchanging cause, nor are they created by some supreme. Almighty being. And it is on this basis the Buddhist teaching on the dependent origination is based.
Law of causality.
And of course the law of causality operates on that level, on that basis.
Yeah.
Your Holiness, 2 weeks ago my beloved cat died. She was killed by an owl.
Where?
No. Huh. Is the pardo, intermediate state, for an animal similar to that for a human? What practices can I do to best help her?
Reda persi ta ta ringdung persi kuzet ne manes. Masida kena si sumin rilke binen mabre. Che shindar ya ta persi yabre. Chazanga. That then, Pama the Pugu rigid draws, rigid draws, chicken. That then, Kimzan Jing Nangi, Namizo, Longjigin draws, chicken. Jazanga, Dawasum, Jigsum name, Dindegeta, Dawa, Yedengi, Chigiglia, Chigpigeta, Gawatumni, Gawat Tele, mean Javaina, Panda Yunguris. Pana, Lome. Lame chedu gyawatun chedu melam chedu chebi ina di chi lame tukun soya tindali ya panto yu dawa. Ta deshindu pechindu dhamba ina chi lame tindale ya lame chi melam chedu ya chi panto yu dawa. Daga na shingi pame bugu chedu melam chedu na bugu panya yu dawa. Bugu pame chedu melam chedu chi kaso gyawatun chubi ina panto yu dawa. Ta longshu ki dawa sini kimzan chigi nangi kimi 지기 된다네 김이 지기 겨우 좀 판도해야 돼. 그래서
Generally speaking,
with
relation to Partho, the intermediate state, the pattern is the same for human beings and animals, and it is really determined by what kind of rebirth the individual being is going to take the form of. But generally in Buddhism, with regard to the law of cause and effect, there are certain fundamental facts of the karmic law that one never faces the consequences of karmic actions that are not done. The karmic acts once committed do not lose their potency to produce their consequences and so on. So the point is that generally liberation and overcoming of sufferings and so on, as far as the karmic processes are concerned, it is the individual oneself that has to find the freedom and the liberation and so on. But however, as the great master, Kadamba master Potowa states, he lists three types of very essential relationships. He talks about the spiritual bond and relationship between teacher and students and teacher and disciples. He talks about relationship of blood or by birth of the siblings and parent and children and so on, which are related by birth. And then he talks about the relationship of what he calls the common sustenance or material sustenance or well-being, where family members who may not be related by blood, but they have a common kind of they have a shared well-being, a situation. So in these three types of very special relationships, Potowa says that one individual, creating good karma and merits for the benefit of the other can enjoy, can have some beneficial results. For example, on the part of the students, making special efforts to help fulfill the aspirations of their teacher can have an impact upon making that realized. Similarly, on the part of the teachers, by making special prayers and the teacher's action of praying for the well-being of the students can have a beneficial outcome. Similarly, in the case of parent and children, one's action can have beneficial outcome on the other in the karmic sense. So in your case, since your cat was someone that you really loved and had this very special bond, so by making special efforts and praying and so on, could have an effect upon the cat's transition through the through the next life.
Pernah dengar ni ada semua doa. Cuma dengan kita jinju soli ya. Cuma dengan kita kami semua cah sah sebe cah dengan ni, siapa juga dah ngah nani. Tak kalau cuma dengan orang ni, tak kalau tu kami semua cah sah ya di, sebenar kena cedok dah cah sah pun zaman Hindu zaman ni, orang tu tuju cuma dengan kita cah sah sebe tulu dengan ni, yang orang tu dia mixer gaya.
And also we find passages in the sutras, the Buddha's own scriptures, where the Buddha, because he had accumulated merits for over three incalculable eons, innumerable eons, where in these scriptures, Buddha makes very fervent dedication of the benefits of these merits for the well-being of entire sentient beings. And since we have a special karmic connection with the historical Buddha, so because of that, the sheer force of that dedication on the part of the Buddha, it is suggested that we, as those who share special karmic bonds with the Buddha, can actually experience the benefit of that of the merit that the Buddha has created.
Yeah, that's right.
Text.
That again, the Gordian says to us. Gordian, the Pana, Tomba Bam and Gordian, and so on, she get on Gordian's woman. We already. That Tudu Rukolia, Nindu Bamba, Gordian Jig. Then a Nindu D Shagway, Paja.
So to go back to the lecture, we were speaking about the truth of cessation, and when we in the truth of, among the truth of cessation, there are different levels. For example, one can attain a level of cessation which is at the level of path of seeing, and also one can understand cessation in terms of the total cessation of all the afflictions. So defilements in the form of afflictions, and then there is also the highest level of cessation, which is not just the cessation of the afflictions, but also the entire propensities for dualistic perceptions and so on. So not just the afflictions, but also the subtle imprints and the propensities and so on. So because of this, in the texts, we find mentions of two levels of definite goodness in the form of liberation from samsara existence, and definite goodness in the form of attainment of highest Buddhahood.
So that today, ni, nindu sam bongshi du sungshe le da lam, bena changzhou shu dun, be tenpa shi le, ar da ten shi.
So, the paths and the practices that are related primarily for the attainment of liberation from cyclic existence, which are presented within the framework of the Four Noble Truths, and also the 37 aspects of the path to enlightenment. These So, and where the practical framework of the actual path is explained in terms of the three levels of higher trainings, where in the higher training on concentration and higher training on wisdom, then the 37 aspects of the path to enlightenment are presented. So these aspects of the Buddhist path are explained in the Pali tradition, in the Pali teachings.
That the Shri Shaiva Thala, and the Chindru Vinyamni Sundar Yidi, Paji Soshe, the Chindru Vinyamni Sandun Che, and the Sundar Yidi, Paji Shijing Shums, Paji Soshe Muna.
And taking these teachings as a basis, and then emphasizing primarily the practice of the six perfections, this approach you find in the Perfection of Wisdom Sutras, Perfection of Wisdom Scriptures. From the time of, as early as Nagarjuna's time, there had been questions about the authenticity of Mahayana teachings, whether or not they represent true teachings of the Buddha, or true words of the Buddha.
Sazaga gobu chambe chamju dengenangi dodiyan araliya godaga tejin geru chiksungdo ane luru umar ji thaya na lo gadu chik song yare tene lobe leng deng gi umanyim gu na la thesin gadu song yare tene shiwale junju ga da na lo le thesin gadu yong gu yare ange thong
because of this debate about the authenticity of Mahayana teachings as representing the words of the Buddha, and there were debates, and also because of this we see in the writings of great Mahayana masters defense of the authenticity of the Mahayana teachings. For example, in Maitreya's Ornament of Mahayana Sutras, there is a section that deals with the establishment of the authenticity of Mahayana teachings. Similarly, we find in Nagarjuna's Precious Garland, Ratnavali, and also in Bhava Viveka's Essence of Middle Way or Heart of the Middle Way, there is a section that deals with the same theme. And we find in Shantideva's text, there is a section that deals with the question of the authenticity of Mahayana teachings.
Daine, anda shung tu cair wanda, pernah kasore. Sama namde nalariya, tabat juya, tapi siapa kumat juya jadi, sendiri sah sungguh tua. Di di, pergi Bali nala, tegasan sukses mustahab ayu sengi.
And we also find in some Mahayana treatises, for example, in Dharmakirti's exposition of valid cognition, Pramanavartika, there are extensive rational arguments and also reasoning that establishes the validity of the path to Buddhahood and the teachings and so on. So the level of detail, a rational explanation that we find with relation to these issues, probably we may not find these in the Pali tradition. So in this respect, the Sanskrit tradition in India seems to be much more extensive.
Tadine sanga chodi, nangbe sanga chodi, ya sangjebe chuyimi ya zhalajin chadi duwa.
Similarly, the Buddhist Tantra, whether or not it is a true Buddhist teaching or Buddhist path, becomes an issue of debate.
So,
And
아리안 대화 이 말로 태손민 누사 공디사.
Actually, I've mentioned this elsewhere. Of course, whether or not the Buddhist Tantra is a authentic Buddhist tradition and Buddhist teaching has been an object of matter of debate. So, among scholars, those who do not accept the Vajrayana tradition to be true Buddhist teaching, they then have to find a way of interpreting or explaining away the attribution of some of the Vajrayana texts to Nagarjuna. So, so from
Nagarjuna,
their point, Nagarjuna and so on. So, from their point of view, these tantric texts cannot be accepted as authored by the great authors like Nagarjuna, who is the author of the Fundamental Wisdom of the Middle Way, and so on. The problem then is, then you have to start making distinctions between two types of Nagarjuna and two types of that master and two types of that master and so on. And finally, in the case of Atisha, the great master who came to Tibet, his classic work, Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment, in that text, Stages of the Path, at the end, towards the end of that text, there is a very specific reference to the Vajrayana path. So again here, one would be forced to say that there were two Atishas as well. So with this respect, I remember once there was this great Indian Buddhist scholar, a Sanskritist by the name of Ubhadeva. He has already passed away, but once he was in doing a research on the Kalachakra text, Vimalaprabha, Stainless Light, and in connection with that research, he spent some time in Nepal, and he came across just a single folio of a text, and which later turned out to be from a text that is attributed to Aryadeva, the author of the 400 verses on the Middle Way. And so this is from Aryadeva's Vajrayana text, referred to as the purification of the defilements of the mind or mental defilements. And Ubhadeva told me that as a result of close analysis of this one-page text that he has found, particularly through a linguistic analysis of the writing style, the composition, and the kind of the tone and the temperament of the author, he said that in his mind he has no doubt the author of this one-page text that he has come across is exactly the same person who wrote 400 verses on the Middle Way. In terms of the style of composition, the language, and everything, so far as he is concerned, he had no doubt that these two, the authors of these two texts are the same person.
So
as a result of his own personal kind of research, he told me that so far as he is concerned, he is convinced that Aryadeva, the author of the 400 verses on the Middle Way, had actually authored Vajrayana texts. And if that is the case, then of course one could also infer that his own teacher Nagarjuna must have also authored Vajrayana texts as well.
세상아, 애는 뭐시? 당에 안 되던 미안 뒤집셔야 되기. 안 돼 사자 남자 손에 그 둘이야. 애는 롱차마, 댄저차마, 라마차마, 냠용차마, 차마시지 송구 아래. 세상아, 차마시부터 중요한 점 뭐지잖아? 롱차마 등이 아니지. 근데 롱을 댄에 뒤 잡아 댄저차마. 대다 있는 도 댄저스 님도 다. 규도 공직이 냠수 냠수 시에네 아니 배 롱도기 연대 투주를 총이 주잖아 아니 시안을 봐 가서 우리 그게 등갱기 라마차마 대대배 라마차마라 때네 라메 아니 람등고와리야 아니 가서 우리 다 냠닌지 아니 강사르니 규 로마르니 규리야 냠용차마게야 중요한 것은 그림지체 다 랑게 줄래야 대다대 참아이 뭐 예번이야 그런 경우도 제발 이나 도만 양념 참아 랑이를 양념 참아서 깨인 듯 안에 소수 양념 뒤 다 근데 숨벌에 산댕을 라메 다 람댕 와리야 소스 냠니체는 냠뇽도 춤이 주산에 에네 라마 사마리야 지다 잉내번이야 텔라 때네 댄주 사마르 잉내번이야 텔라 때네 자외했던 바 야 에네 롱 잡아보려야 에네 사마니 하루 이신이야 그럼 뜻 숨도 와 뜻 담바르샤 땅 안아줘도 나서도 냠, 빼는, 냠는 유지 시골, 다 냠뇽을, 냠뇽, 지, 캐도 하고 든지다, 냠뇽 패반이치. 나란서 듀를, 냠뇽 캐도 하고 하다, 가오도 와. 가오도 되는 냠뇽 패반이치, 용구도 와다. 자, 냠뇽 패반, 뜨거지, 예배 인도자네, 냠뇽 패반, 대로 빵나, 나란서 루듀 나라, 라마콤에 남다들이 나라리야, 냠뇽 캐바오 되는 여러분들 숭도 와. 탐제도 때문에 이미 강하신데, 탐제 준비 말하다. 자, 근데 인도자네, 냠뇽 캐바워든데 거다 용처지. 뒤에만 있는 자네 냠뇽 참아 텔레방네 라만 참아 텔레방네 댄주 참아 텔레방네 롱 참아. 내가 이제 돼야지 용서해. 댄베 젊지 댄베 능주신에 댄발라 이신이가 다도 강원셔 송대리도 뒤뒤지고 있어.
Generally, I find a particular, a specific approach in the tradition of Sakya. Path and fruition approach, Lamdre approach, where there is a discussion of what are known as the five valid factors, four valid factors, valid scriptures, valid commentarial treatises, valid teachers, and valid experience. So in terms of the sequence of the origination, the valid scriptures come into being first, and then on the basis of these scriptures, you know, masters have written various treatises, commentarial explanations. So that came second. And on the basis of that, and there were masters, the teachers who were able to embody these knowledge. And so the third, the valid teachers or valid masters came into being. And on the basis of the teachings given by these valid teachers, then in the mental continuum of the students, valid experiences take place. So this is the actual the sequence in which these four factors come into being. But in terms of the sequence of gaining a sense of conviction in their efficacy and validity, the order is really reversed. One must first begin from having some confidence in the validity of one's own personal experience. And on the once you have a kind of a certain level of experience, valid experience, then on that basis, then you can gain admiration in the qualities that are embodied by your teacher. So on that base, on the basis of your own valid experience, you can then validate your teacher. And so once you have gained conviction in the validity of the teacher, then you will be able to then infer the validity of the commentarial treatises of the great masters. On that basis, then you will then be able to gain conviction in the validity of the scriptures. So this is the process in which you come to gain conviction in the validity of these factors. So, as I normally tell people that when we speak of valid experience, of course there will be a very high level of deep spiritual realizations and then more ordinary type of valid experiences. So for us ordinary people, we have to begin with this ordinary level of experience. And we do occasionally have these experiences, although the higher level of experiences may be not yet available to us, but at least we have inklings of experience. And so when you have at least some degree of valid experience, then you will be able to then relate to the biographies of the great masters, and where we find mentions of deeper levels of experience. So of course not everything in the biographical literature may be true, but at the same time, not everything in the biographical literature are also false. So one, on the basis of the little experience that one has, one will be able to at least get a sense and get an inkling of the possibility of a deeper level of experience. And once you have that kind of conviction, then of course your conviction in the teacher and his or her validity will be affirmed. So this is this process, this approach of deepening one's conviction in the scriptures and the teachers and the experience, I find it helpful. Earlier I forgot one part where Ms. Olena said that in fact this approach that you find in the Sakya Lamdre tradition, where the path and fruition tradition, it also is similar in spirit with a passage in Tsongkhapa's text where Tsongkhapa makes the aspirational prayer that may I, on the basis of understanding deeply the pattern of the Buddha's path and Buddha's doctrine, may I be able to develop a deep conviction in the validity of the Master, the Buddha. So it's the same kind of approach, same spirit. And similarly, I did share this on several occasions with other people about 20 years ago when Thalung Shabdrung Rinpoche escaped Tibet and came to India. He at one point conferred upon Dingo Kenzin Rinpoche a set of initiations that relate to Taglung tradition. And Shabdrung Rinpoche, Taglung Kagyu tradition, and Shabdrung Rinpoche told me that when he was conferring these initiations and performing the ceremony, in that room on the beams, he had a vision of the entire lineage masters of that particular set of teachings. And so this Taglung Shabdrung Rinpoche was a very simple an humble monk, and there was no reason why he should be telling lies to me. And he was someone who had no particular expectations or any particular agenda. The only thing that he does have is a slightly squint in his eyes. So maybe, you know, that may be a factor, but still, that could have been a factor. But I mean, that's what Thalung Shabdrung Rinpoche told me, and he said that the vision of the lineage masters was very vivid. All upon the beams, across the beams in that initiation room. Similarly, among my own spiritual colleagues, there are some who have had very deep experiences. So
very, very extraordinary sort of experiences.
So
these things are does exist. Yeah, all right.
So on this basis, you know, I mean, on the basis of one's own, you know, kind of minimal level of experiences, one can infer the possibility of these higher, deeper, or extraordinary levels of experience, on the basis of which one can then gain conviction in the efficacy and the validity of what the teachers and so on.
That 소수 시에버디 소수 다 미지지 지다 케벤저야 다다간 집에 있는 영향과 대응은 다 강시에버디 되는 순간 된다 즉 강시에버디 그래서 투두기 소수 냠는 게 아니야 소수 심두에 치두인 삼바지기 믹서 놓고 만으로 지금 타네 또 금지 있잖아 로지 롱아 로주 로주하고 니 시도 땐데 삼은 요도 그래
So these kind of extraordinary realizations that we are talking about, of course, do not, you know, come about simply on the basis of knowledge. So knowledge of the Dharma, Buddha Dharma alone is not sufficient, and particularly knowledge in the form of individual who seek knowledge simply for the sake of knowledge, that would cannot lead to the kind of realizations we are talking about. What is required is to never lose sight of the primary objective of engaging in the study of Dharma, which is the taming of one's own mind, the disciplining of one's own mind. And so while keeping that in mind, if one constantly tries to live as much as possible the teachings and try to implement them into practice and constantly apply to this single objective of disciplining one's own mind and taming one's own mind, then gradually, over time, over a period of time, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, and 15 years, over time, I can guarantee you 100% that there will be transformation, there will be change. Shantideva makes the statement in his Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life by riding the horse of Bodhicitta, the awakening mind, and being able to travel from a place of joy to another place of joy. What intelligent person would ever feel tired or discouraged by such a journey? And this is truly a statement coming from someone who has a level of conviction and certainty. And definitely, if that kind of realization of bodhicitta, the awakening mind, is complemented with the faculty of wisdom, such as particularly the understanding of the dependent origination, the truth of dependent origination, then truly one's experience and one's path will be remarkable. So the text that we are dealing with, the Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, deals primarily with two themes, that is the bodhicitta, the awakening mind, and the wisdom of emptiness, the view of emptiness. The ninth chapter of Shantideva's text deals with emptiness, the philosophy of emptiness, and the remaining chapters deal with the practice and cultivation of bodhicitta, the awakening mind.
So the 다 주 영어도 드주타네 제니 샤야니 슝고 토불이야 지배냠리고 송인바리 어디리 지기 토마스 기 대응으로 양아든 봐 대응으로 심지 팬유상 봐 뒤는 것도 다네 무시심 기 깨베절은 이니 친구냠리 제야 어디 저 준주기 자 단다지 들리지 말이 다야 yang chua xian xin de yang sun bei yin na ene liu sim di pan yu liu ene xia bei liu ene sim sun yu liu chen liu sun bu de chen ju sun ma ji wei ge che de guo guo de ru ji che de ne ene pa yu liu de xi xing liu de o di di ge chen ge sai ne se bei liu chen di sun bu de ge chen ju sun ge wa ming yan ba sumya, minyambu sumya liu sumche. Dene, zunrugu liu, samdengu liu, shirugu liu, de sumbu degi, ene, gebu, kone, kondu, beyaagi, da, nyamling, dunbe, shung, chikche, ene, ju, nguye liu che, odi sumche.
So the Shantideva's text is entitled Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life, or the Way of the Bodhisattva. So the title itself suggests the key theme of the text, which is the Bodhisattva's way of life. And the Bodhisattva's way of life can be subsumed into the two primary aspects of the path, that is the method, skillful means aspect of the path, and the wisdom aspect of the path. So so it is these two, the wisdom and method, are the key themes of Shantideva's text. So if we look at the chapter, a layout of Shantideva's text. The first chapter deals with the benefits of cultivating or generating the awakening mind. Second chapter deals with the practice of confession or purification, which is part of the seven limb practice, which are the preliminary practices for cultivating, laying the foundation for cultivating the awakening mind. And chapter three deals with the practice of upholding the awakening mind. So, and then you have chapter 4, which is the chapter on heedfulness or watchfulness, or maybe vigilance is a better word. And then chapter 5 is introspection or introspective vigilance. These two deal primarily with the various aspects of the practices that help maintain pure ethical discipline. So these two chapters deal primarily with the practice of morality or ethical discipline. And then chapter 6 is on patience or forbearance. Chapter 7 is on vigor or effort. And chapter 8 is on meditation or concentration. And chapter 9 is on wisdom. And the chapter 8 is on dedication, where the key theme is the practice of the perfection of giving. And the perfection of giving, in fact, the discussion on the perfection of giving is spread throughout the Shantideva's text, some part in in the practice of the seven limbs and so on. So we can also look at the structure of Shantideva's text in a slightly different way. For example, chapter 1, 2, and 3 can be seen as presenting the practices that are necessary and critical for cultivating and generating an awakening mind in the initial phase, where the awakening mind has not arisen. And chapter 4 and 5 and 6 present various practices that enable us to maintain the mind that has been generated from degeneration. And chapter 7, 8, and 9, and then deals with various practices that help us enhance the practices of the awakening mind and the mind that we have generated. And chapter 10 deals with the dedication of all the practices.
Oh, yeah. Tadari, Tinda, chapter Kyabati.
So in this series of lectures, we will be dealing with the chapter 8 of Shantideva's text.
That the liu tamatha di 준주기로 차대요. 근데 인도 자들 준주 때는 이니 띵은 전에 샤생 다 준주를 때네 아니 삼대 두야 샤베.
Since the immediately preceding chapter was on vigor or joyous effort, the text is making a reference to that. So we read, after cultivating diligence, set your mind to concentrate.
That is, so the Changju Samjong or Sungyu Indu, something living on the air, that. 조조 닥세냠지 청주 섬중 송야디 일단 리우드 조차려.
Since Shantideva's own primary theme of the topic of the text is that of the practice of awakening mind bodhicitta, so in this chapter on concentration, the main focus really is the practice of the exchange the bodhicitta, the exchange of equalizing and exchanging and equalizing self and others.
아, 탐절해야 지금 민유범 해봐. 탐절을 그게 켜버지 영향이야. 딴 개인들이 소소로 연내버 증액에 다 잘해야. 아니 미야지 딱 강에 제기도 왕아도. 자, 니네 인류자네 이 류축과 스벨류 그들이야 다 진심부인 말. 아니 왜 랑기 스벅건배 개신이 뭐 두야 다디 등원도 개 시시듯이야. 다 되게 개진세야디 조 스벨리브 그돌이야 송네. 다 드네 아니 삼 드네 다 가서 오지. 아산도 삼대리브 그돌이야 아니 닥신이 송야 다 되듯이야. 자 드네 이제 준주고 다 준주를 지나 로종스야래. 로종스야디 마시다미 다 산지의 최 영조디. 다 산지의 최를 사와면은 최 영조 로종리스 하는 로투야지. 다 대난제네 금디 취세야디 아니 다르마스제네 지구에 비게다 껴버려야 대인 지구에 조다지 뇽문 지구에 껴버려야 시샤베이나 다 산제게 줄 조고고야 돼 저디네 이면 인도사네 디네르베다 가쇼레 야 네디 가쇼고스나 자 저디네 인도 산제게 줄 용조로 로 정해야지 저요 로중 저요 이네 그럼들 로종세야기 지민디 그 아니 다 죽여야지네 질 가서 우리 로마티오 튜어치야 탐자로 로종제디 그럼들 로종세야디 랑진진 롱엔디 장네 아다 샹진진 로코네 콘도 빼야 다 로종 제다버 지르 네 로종 민다 근데 이니 준주로 로종 민타야기 로종 그 싸워버디 다 류디 샴들마 아니
So since in the context of cultivating awakening mind bodhicitta, what Shantideva wishes to teach is a method by which we can really cultivate a deep sense of compassion and a sense of concern free of prejudices and totally unbiased and extended towards all sentient beings. Therefore, in order to help us cultivate that, first in the sixth chapter, Shantideva deals primarily with, addresses a major obstacle to cultivating such an equanimous, altruistic mind towards all. And this is our attitude towards the so-called enemies and how to find a method of dealing with our prejudices towards and against our enemies. So in the chapter 6, the chapter on forbearance, Shantideva taught us various thought processes and practices whereby we are able to appreciate, cultivate a state of mind where we are able to appreciate the value of the presence of enemies, those who cause harm upon us. And furthermore, he has also taught a method whereby we can in fact recognize our enemies as true spiritual teachers. And on that basis, we aim to try to overcome a major obstacle that comes in the way of cultivating this unbiased altruism and compassion towards all beings. Having done that in this particular chapter, chapter 8, Shantideva then wants to explain primarily the actual practice of cultivating this awakening mind in the form of exchanging and equalizing self and others. So because of this, this particular practice of exchanging and equalizing self and others is referred to as mental training or training, mind training or lojong. Generally, one could say that all forms of spiritual practices can be characterized as a form of mind training because they are all aimed at a transformation of one's mind. So not just Buddhist teachings, but in fact the entire spiritual teachings practices can be characterized as lojong. But here, this generic term is used in a very particular context where a specific practice of bodhicitta is referred to as lojong or mind training. And here, the key point of that mind training is to train our mind in such a way that we can overcome our habitual self-centeredness and grasping at one's, cherishing one's own self, and then transform them in them bring about within ourselves the thought that would cherish the welfare of other sentient beings. So this particular practice is referred to and acquired this name, lojong, or mind training.
산이다 그게 내가 중에 때부터 중에 로신다 취업체 심주신다 취업체 다 미국 때를 때부터 미국 때가 간다 산이다 대등에게 등등들을 다 실례쟁기 로직을 등인진사로 심 지식과 사 실유래 이는 등인진 샤 다 등인진 미국발이야 내가 가야 매발이 다 잠든다 된다 가인에다 지도하다 진입해 주
So we read in the text at the beginning, after cultivating vigor or joyous effort, set your mind to meditative concentration or meditative stabilization. Here, when we speak of meditative absorption, this samadhi or tingenzin in Tibetan should not be understood as a kind of a restful state of restful physical state of being, where you know there's a kind of a you know a relaxation that takes place. What is being referred to here as kind of setting your mind to meditative absorption, we are referring to a state of mind where there is a certain amount of stillness of the mind with relation to a particular focus of meditation. So this meditative absorption or samadhi or concentration is a state of mind which has a certain quality. It is free of kind of a laxity or nor is it too excited. So there is a certain degree of equilibrium having cultivated the joyous effort, we then need to set our mind to this meditative concentration where one maintains a degree of equilibrium. And so with this respect, we have to have some understanding of our mental processes and mental states. In Buddhist psychology, one makes distinctions between mind and mental factors. And the distinction is made on the basis of our cognitive experience. So mind is the primary faculty of cognition where you do not relate to a particular aspects or characteristics of the object. So it's like the kind of totality of the cognitive experience of that object, whereas the differentiation of the characteristics of that object is done by mental factors. So there are, of course, different types of mental factors according to the Abhidhamma Samuchaya, compendium of Abhidhamma or higher knowledge tradition. And there are five mental factors which are ever-present or omnipresent, which are present in every mental state. And there are five mental factors which are referred to as factors of ascertainment, and concentration is one of those factors. So we need to be able to understand the way in which mental processes operate.
Tangzu namingi sem chilo lebe susu rahame bata sem chode ya digi ko pardo jai mudwa. So dindi yindu sem ni nabri yeme mi nyumu chewe chana ne. So the penangar anzu jik tanda abjidu samdame kato chaks lo ne yan jik sem di pa yangdu aro. Yan jik kasa kenyi jik pa kasa ure nyongar uji ya chenche yan pa sem di pa yangdu aro. Yang seni jika cakap itu asam cair itu, yang tadi kan asam tu aku yang pak kasur pergi, lah je. Laka dah, enam tahun zaman itu mampu cari untuk zane, ke, ini mikir cili ya, sem naya dulu aku patut je kedua. Ni aku tuh cakap mana, sem ni nampak iya memi, nyomun cewa tanah nes. Tapi sem, dewe mikir kali ya, naya lah patut je ya, sem cilo tu tak cote ya. So dah ada juga lagi. Ini, kalau sembikul ni ada patut je keris. Ni nanti niaga yaris, niaga keris lebih ina. 남도 레도 남도 몽구지기 심파주 촌주잖아요. 아니 제 소수지다 로리야지 가서래 지금 대배 당다지로 봐 로초윤두 로초윤두잖아요. 착받게요. 라 수수 민주배지 간이야 로초윤두잖아요. 당황제야 마제제야 저 차도제야 다 몽구지고 남도 남도 샤에 제리야 용되기도 가. 그 계획 미고 찍리야 로헨이 대베 대투부 중나 그 남도 남도 찍기 말에 남도 남도 마제나 남도 되게 제순 전에 차당으로 끼야 용구 말아 봐. 자기 내 인도 남도 남면데 제수 아 로 친체 신배이나 아니 뇨몽바 깨야기 깬 참어 초용구야 할 때 내 인도 뇨몽베 체외 차고 나라 내가 너 실제 소원이 말에 뇨몽 체외 차고 내서
So earlier I forgot another sentence. So when we're talking about meditative concentration, we're talking about a practice of cultivating an ability to maintain one's focus with a stillness upon a chosen object. So as far as the object of meditation is concerned, meditative concentration is concerned, one can choose any kind of object for that kind of practice. So Shantideva writes then, for those whose minds are scattered, they are caught between the fangs of the afflictions. What he's saying is that for the practitioners who are focused on cultivating a concentration, meditative concentration, one major obstacle that comes in the way of having a successful meditation is this, having one's mind, scattered. So it wanders and it gets distracted. So therefore, it is the major obstacle that one needs to address. Not only that it is an obstacle for concentration, but also the scattered mind or the wandering can also have destructive and damaging consequences. Because when we try to focus our mind single-pointedly upon a chosen object of meditation, we know from our own personal experience that all of a sudden our mind gets distracted, whether by some spontaneous noise or whether a recollection of something that has occurred to us or whether some kind of anticipation or hopes or fear that are directed to the future. So the mind gets, the stillness of the mind is lost and the focus is lost and the mind gets distracted. And when the mind is distracted, depending upon what kind of object it is, if it is an object or an event that is desirable, then that distraction will then give rise to attachment and desire and so on. Whereas if the object that distracts you is something that is undesirable, then that distraction can lead to fear or anger, hostility, jealousy, conceited, arrogance and so on. So depending upon what kind of thoughts distract you, whether it is desirable or undesirable, it opens the door to all sorts of hopes, expectations, fears and so on, which then opens the door to a whole host of afflictions. And therefore, Shantideva says that, on the other hand, if we are able to maintain the stillness of the mind and remain single-pointedly focused on the chosen object, then that very act precludes your mind being distracted and your mind being influenced and overwhelmed by the afflictions. Therefore, Shantideva says that those whose minds are distracted are in some sense caught in the fangs of the afflictions, and because the door is open for the afflictions to arise.
Korea, Then the chance the size of a chavo combusta, chuk combo, but a chavo combo, chavo combo in the character summary. And the character said, the uncle could choose similarity, uncle university, chuk war, but the king did the chuk guari, and the king will chuk gueve, Casole, gueve, neju diwane, chuk combo in Elia, quite a tombuna or choose to sinding and she. Yanji Lomakashe, or Lomakaran or Chusha Yudevichi. Tringua. Chirang Kashalia, Simjens or Tunya, Chumiduzane, Loma de Sena, Loma de Nalolia, Lunch, Shukumuyeveche, Kurbet on Momiachi, Sim, Dakado, Tumetur, Dichal, the Yungua. So the ladies and a corre semi pambung of Chigla, Horo Soyale, a corcoreci, Gajin Seya, the Tingin, Triology, Korachi, Yedosua. Did men of Suge Marva? Congel Gigi Mari, Gin Suge Mari, Corcor and Gajin Seya, the Tingin Triology. Emotion, so many. That's all. That Kongju Gajin Jagdua, Gajin Sarchong, Mitumbe, Gendi, Kopa, Jen, Jabashin, Jedua. Chizanga, the Chadang, Numunibu, the Kora Langer Dostua. That didn't I guess I'm stoned. Shum Dana, Shumbe, Pombole, Togmarvada, the Dambarvada. In a double Shumba, Sedanko. Majagi, me to great, not good at high, Sarajigi. Any, be shan cat sen. That Jiso Tiger is soon nature, the shan is chodons in the same kingshing, powder chattels of the Pergimjan, so on the Jenny, not the interval, the round chod of that. The shan the bear, shandy bear, cat sang and all, the shan by the part, jiggy. A near quantum messas of Jishai Nuzane could be round swing on the pink door. Domino. That another is around the Nambasiadu, Sibe, Dendru in Guduna, Chadog, Coba Gache, so called Madanga, Gaya, Chigruda. Jazanga could Rinsin, Henjigi, Numu digi, Round Soyalia, Peje, Chig, Cocasure, Round Soyal, and that did very universal tongue. That one did young Arizona. That young was Lavina. Chagwatini, Tunjin, Duber Chigi already, Tunjin, Duber Chedandi, go Chagwati, Mombe Shaman, the Duba Yinza, go Tunjin, Dudandi, Lambda Tembe, the Tunji Rugota, go Lambda, Gugwe, Tunji Dunaj, Pejit Chagi. Dagaman Shingi, Shedangi, the Kongju, Gajin Sea Koya, Yan Timugi, go Shizu Shedi, go Dingy Google Chadarosa, says Sasaga, Kur Yang Goloshi, Siaji, Kuchelduwa. Did I need Zaranga, the Tenuji Gishun, Kosim Tenuji Shedan of Gibe Kudul, Shedan Gibe Kudula, Migoa Gita, Migoa Jessadi, Yidu Mumu Tungorwa. Kur Yidu Mumu Cha Longo Tella, Yidu Mumu Nang Deadi, Gaja Kujutam Jodari Sudo. Kosenuda. Any lad on your more seratar, lad on your more numdoles, chimmy is it, numdog, drodani, any you do with you chisel do with the middle, then it's Hadantia, Sumorota, Sashuna. That trimmy is it? What's everybody in the sun? Well, Sashu Luntan Shiva, Marimaran, Chadangi, Tunjim, Dubuchiada, Gagin, Sell, Chad, Chagriot, in a cool Nando, Dodani, any Tunbe gains of Yingishi, that Tunjim Chodde. And then Mitube Gagin, Samshi, Mitube Gagin, Shibuzil Dage, any cool Casole, Muy Nesule Gare, that Chig Tunjim Duyada, Gagin Sayad, Chayundu, and also Pum Gilders. Yada, Chida, Bumra, Hagway, Boba, Nenu, somebody, she was to the Tella, Gareke, Chendo. Tellaya, she has already Shania, she didn't never care, so didn't she had a choice whom they were da, Golosia, Chendo, Boba. That other is Ningi Sambe, Tungi Durcia, Chod in English. Ningi Tungi Dun Zane, Chick to Sarah Sambe, Tungi Dugor Mado, Chagwe Samba never in Zane, Tundi. Chagwa Dianju Dongju Le Hagwa Tunjin Zhutunghe Yine Delaya Mitunbe Gyawa Da Gyo Daname Derechi Sudan Gajin Seya Le Sewe Wangi Parubo Naba Chinghe Parubo Azi Da Lengen Segi Da Digi Nribu Ngenpa Khogure Da Kholi Ya Ni Gengen Yunggure Sanbe Sewe Sanbe Gajin Doya Chishabe Yina Gajin Dobe Chile Yodaba Chile Di Shianam Same captain, you have a logic, gagging session, twinkle to ya, chasan chitrach to what? Some stanchy dom the day, Nagachi. So today, you know, Numu, Siati, then Rikashi, attachment to Sidio Marston, any toy metals could go to Sidua. This are in the marble. Numu Jengi, Yula, Kazo, Shinji Chebe, Lot Yamarity, in a Gunzengi, the Gunze Yanda Watane, Sijo to Shana Zera Samba. Leyundu Kashuda, Naga Chanson. San Yumu said, this year was those Kashmustum.
So, although, you know, some of you might already be aware, we talked about the the nature and the destructive functions of the afflictions and so on. But here I just wanted to share something. It seems that there is. Actually, in many fields of reality or many aspects of reality, there seems to be some kind of a system naturally inbuilt within that system, which helps sustain the events and the things and so on. For example, like even in the physical world, external world, if you look at, say, a flower or you know. Now, in any inanimate plants and so on, even in this material world of plants, we do see, say for example, like a flower, and particularly the cactuses that we see here in this dry country of Arizona. We find, for example, in cactus, and because it has to grow and it has to survive in this dry climate where water is so scarce that there is a natural mechanism within the plant itself that enables it to retain enough water so that even during the dry times, it will be able to continue to sustain itself. Similarly, we also find plants where the leaves are quite unusual. Leaves have leaves, particularly in the desert countries, there are plants which have leaves that retain so much water, so that the animals that live in these leaves, animals that live in these desert terrain, they can quench their thirst by simply chewing on these leaves because enough water has been retained. So what we see even in this external world of plants, there is a kind of a natural mechanism in these systems which enable not only the plants to grow in the first place, but also to sustain in that environment. Similarly, we look at our body. Our body has an immune system. So there is a natural mechanism within our body that allows the body to sustains its vitality and also confront the hostile agents that comes from the environment, and so this immune system of the body enables the whole kind of the natural kind of health to be sustained. So whether these are functions of karma or whether it is some by its very nature, probably it's the latter, that in the natural world, where there are these elements, there is inbuilt in the system itself a mechanism that enables it to sustain and so on.
So that here, when the doctor says, "I am poor," the when the job is poor, system is changing, is what, casa, is the charge is what, debt is what, the thing is, yeah, some of that, that this is the in the job is what,
so it is because of these kind of facts we find in the Buddhist literature discussions of four kinds of principles of nature. The four kinds of principles. The one is the principle of nature, which is the way things as they are by their very nature. And then there is the principle of dependence, and there is the principle of function or functionality, and on the basis of these three principles one can then apply the principle of inference, which is the logic, the principle of reason. So now if we use the same kind of observation on our own mental states, within our mental states and there are powerful mental states such as the emotions and also the cognitive mental states and so on. So within these emotion, the world of emotion, we have certain broad categories or families of these emotions. On the one hand, there are those emotions that are their primary function is to help us acquire the necessary means for survival. So for example, attachment is a primary emotion of that class, where our attachment to material objects, our attachment to food, our attachment to shelter, our attachment to companions, motivate us to then seek these, which are necessary for our survival and sustenance. Then we also have classes of emotions where their primary function is to help us remove the obstacles in our seeking these necessary conditions for survival. And these types of emotions include primarily anger, hatred, hostility, and so on, that help us deal with obstacles that come in the way of our acquisition of the necessary means for survival. Similarly, the emotions of pride or arrogance, because we know that discouragement does not lead to any solution. Discouragement leads to failure. So therefore, we have pride and confidence, which really help us and then um, um, Now, which then help us to overcome problems and so on. So if you look at these, the world of emotions, similarly, the emotion of jealousy that you know can be seen as helping us to compete with those whom we consider to be more of an a kind of equal status. So you can see that each of these emotions, primary emotions, do have a role, does have a role in the overall survival and sustenance of the individual. However, the problem is, then the question then is, if that is so, then what is the problem?
자자가 든주지 사무실 온다. 그래서 최근에 제 두고 말하다. 최 지금부터 보시고, 그래서 유모매나 그래서 두고 말해 봐야지.
So, for example,
자 든주 쳐야 돼 봐야지 유모가 쳐야.
So let us take the example of compare ourselves to animals. Animals in the world have definitely no religion. So what makes the animals to be able to survive is the emotions that they possess. So in the case of us human beings too, if we are totally out of touch with our emotions, if we do not have emotions, for example, no attachment or no, for example, then if we may not even be able to know if we experience pain, if we are not able to recognize this and have emotion. Imagine if we are not able to recognize
emotion. 저러면 하나님 인내 심해 당시로서 차버렸다. 우울증 당해보다 제가 그게 매우 차지고 있네.
So imagine a person who has no emotions at all. Then the person may not be even able to know that he or she is hungry or afraid. So a person who is totally devoid of emotions is like someone who is on anesthesia. You know, there is a breathing that is going on, respiration is going on, but there is no feeling at all. So if that is the case, then the question is, what is the problem with these emotions? What's wrong with them? They are natural, they have a role to play. And then the question really is that they tend to lead to disasters. They tend to lead to... although these emotions do... have an important role in the overall survival and sustenance and the well-being of the individual, but they act in a way that is beyond a reasonable limit. So they do not perform their functions, the roles, in an appropriate manner. Whereas, contrast to the afflictions, afflictive emotions, you have emotions like compassion. The compassion can fulfill the role that attachment fulfills, which is the acquisition of the necessary conditions for survival, friendship, friends, and material needs, and so on. But compassion can fulfill that role without the exaggeration, without the extremes that negative emotions or afflictions tend to lead to. Similarly, the role that anger and hostility provides in overcoming the obstacles can also be fulfilled by compassion. Compassion, with a strong sense of compassion and concern for the well-being of the perpetrator of the harm, you can actually, without losing sight of the humanity of that person, you can take a very strong measure. So compassion can fulfill the role of these afflictive emotions without letting us to this extreme and disaster. So in a sense, one could say that the afflictions do have a role, but then they tend to perform that role in a very blind and foolish manner, which leads to disaster. And similarly, one major problem of these afflictive emotions is that they tend to exaggerate a lot. A large element of the afflictive emotions is mental projection. In fact, recently...
유모디디고 세례계를 영향하듯 가르쳐야 할 수도 없나? 롬몬버치를 잡았대요.
And the question is, why do these emotions react in a manner that is totally inappropriate to the event, to the reality?
Go extreme.
No. So why do they go extreme? Because they are grounded upon a distorted way of seeing things. They are grounded upon ignorance.
So therefore, these negative emotions, I think they act like unrealistic.
Recently, I've had the opportunity to have a discussion with a scientist. I think he's in the field of psychotherapy, in fact. And in our discussion, he made the remark that if you analyze carefully in the emotions like strong attachment and anger and hatred, when these intense emotions arise, there is almost a 90% exaggeration of the characteristics upon which the emotions is based. For example, if it is hatred, then the characteristic, the quality of negativeness of the object is exaggerated by 90%, which I think is very true. And this is coming from a person who has no familiarity with Nagarjuna's writing at all. So, and he's basically converging on Nagarjuna's insight that all these afflictive emotions arise on the basis of a distortion of reality. There is an exaggeration that is involved. Similarly, when we talk about emotional pride or arrogance, and generally pride can be a positive state of emotion. For example, in a bodhisattva practitioner, those who make the pledge to work for the benefit of entire sentient being, they have a tremendous sense of pride and grounded upon a confidence that I shall do this, I'll be able to fulfill this aspiration. So yet at the same time, in this kind of pride, there is not even a trace of indifference to others. There is not even a trace of willingness to exploit others for the benefit of one's own interest. So the compassion and the bodhicitta, in these emotions, one can maintain a high level of pride. One can fulfill many of the roles that the other negative emotions play, but at the same time are free of the downsides of the extremes, and does not involve in any way being oblivious to the well-being of other sentient beings.
Positive emotion, I think this positive emotion comes through analyze, through serious investigation. Then voluntarily, deliberately, intentionally try to cultivate and increase. The other negative emotion just spontaneously come. If we think second thought, then feel, oh, it's wrong. Then you go, you want to push it in, turn the body, don't you want to show soon since you sound stunner, and get to get something not just a thing. That, so a chain. No, through trainable mind, chain, yajik, the chamber, the ninja, the sova, just several sova, get everything, go chisel, chana, yan, the gooey some chasm, mother.
So as explained before, compared to arrogance, the sense of pride that underlies a positive emotion like bodhicitta, the awakening mind, in arrogance and conceit, there is underlying that there is a sense of obliviousness to others' welfare, and there is also in some cases a willingness to exploit others for one's own sake, and there is in the least a form of indifference to others' welfare, whereas the pride that underlies awakening mind, and there is no such negativities involved. So similarly, one contrast between positive emotions like compassion and negative emotions like hostility, anger, and so on, is that the negative emotions tend to be more impulsive and reactive, whereas the positive emotions tend to be much more grounded upon a cultivation. And so when the negative emotions, intense negative emotions or afflictions arise, and once the intensity subsides, and sometimes we realize that we made a mistake. Whereas if we experience intense level of positive emotions, even after the intensity subsides, there is no such regret or remorse. And furthermore, the difference between the two is that the positive emotions are grounded upon certain reasonable or realistic way of seeing things, whereas the negative emotions or afflictive emotions are grounded upon a distortion. Similarly, positive emotions are complemented by wisdom and insight. So sometimes when people hear that the Buddhist teachings advocate freedom from attachment, sometimes people mistakenly get the impression that the Buddhism is propounding a total freedom from emotions. Somehow, an individual, the ideal individual, is someone who has no emotions. So this is absolutely wrong understanding. In fact, in the Buddhist ideal of compassion, we are promoting a higher, very high level of emotions, and an individual who is, totally empathetic towards the suffering of all other sentient beings. And so we're not cultivating an individual who is detached and disconnected with the experience and suffering of others.
So today in the nyomo jedish dong she was kem dwa nyomo jedish dong yor de ti di lamba jedish dong sha de
so
lamba jedish dong de chur du namji shir ji ko du du la tu ya de dwa.
So therefore, if you think deeply, there's nothing to be afraid about the 84,000 afflictions. Because all these 84,000 afflictions are 84,000 fools. Whereas all of these 84,000 afflictions can be countered by a single wisdom, a wisdom of insight of the nature of reality. So if we So the unrealistic realistically approach that is. So if we reflect deeply upon the meaning of afflictions and their functions and so on, in fact we will come to recognize that the very term nyonmong, affliction, klesha, which etymologically suggests something that afflicts from within and something that undermines, but it also has an etymological connotation of obscuration or obscuring. So in that sense, even the term itself conveys the idea of falsification and obscuration. Therefore, you know, it suggests the weakness of these afflictions because they have no valid grounding in reason nor experience. So, in a way, we could say that the Dhamma practice, in the context of Buddhism, when we speak of spiritual practice in the context of Buddhism, is nothing but engaging in a process whereby we are combating with these afflictions. We are combating with this distorted way of relating things and trying to cultivate a more realistic, more enlightened way of and dealing with the reality. So in a sense, we could say, for example, as I mentioned this morning, even from a conventional point of view, the very idea behind education is to help us remove the level of ignorance we have with specific fields of knowledge so that we are equipped to deal with the world. So in the same manner, we could speak of Buddhist practice as another form of education, an education that involves overcoming an unrealistic, impractical and distorted way of relating to things and cultivating a realistic, more realistic, more appropriate and more healthy way of being and relating with things. So we then read in the Shantideva's text, in solitude the mind and body are not troubled by distraction, therefore leave this worldly life and totally abandon mental wandering. Because of loved ones and desire for gain, disgust with worldly life does not arise. These then are the first things to renounce. Such are the reflections of a prudent man. So in referring to solitude of mind and body here, the solitude of body, in some sense, the solitude of the body really refers to seeking a solitude. So generally, in terms of discipline, one speaks of guarding the doors of one's senses or physically isolating oneself and finding a solitude, place of solitude. So so there are two approaches. One is to create an environment which by its very nature would prevent the individual from coming to face to face with physical distractions. So this is seeking physical a solitary place. But there is also another practice, which is although one may not be in a physical a place of solitude, but by guarding the door of the senses, even though you may confront events and objects that are like that have the potential to distract, but by deliberately maintaining a discipline and guarding the senses, one will be able to maintain this solitude of body. But if one lives in a solitary place, but what is more important is the solitude of the mind, because even if one is physically isolated, but if one's mind is not isolated from the various preconceptions and thoughts and emotions and so on, then although one may be living in a peaceful, quiet environment, but one's mind will be always busy thinking about this thing or emotions and thoughts and so on. Therefore, between the two, the physical solitude and the mental solitude, the latter, the mental solitude, is more important.
Yeah.
So we'll stop here.